The city believed yesterday's Super Bowl parade shooting stemmed from an argument that turned violent. Chief Stacy Graves.
I want to stress that preliminary investigative findings have shown there was no nexus to terrorism or homegrown violent extremism.
One person was killed and nearly two dozen others were injured, many of them kids and teens. Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis defended herself today against misconduct accusations by taking the stand in Georgia. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Very contentious at times because she feels that a lot of what's in this filing is not true. She pushed back very vociferously against that.
And today, the White House confirmed Russia is developing an anti-satellite weapon. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
This is not an active capability that's been deployed. And though Russia's pursuit of this particular capability is troubling, there is no immediate threat to anyone's safety.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Eric Hovde plans to launch his campaign for U.S. Senate next week. That's what Hovde's campaign spokesman tells reporters. Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin is running for a third term. Wisconsin is a swing state as both major parties fight for control of the Senate this year. A last-minute amendment to Governor Evers' political maps bill might complicate elections this year. The legislature passed his maps the other day, but they wouldn't take effect until the November campaign. Democratic State Senator Melissa Agard says that means any race before then would be held in unconstitutional districts.
Speaker Voss is in the middle of a recall, and we're not sure what maps he would run on. Additionally, in the Senate, Lena Taylor was just appointed to be a judge in Milwaukee. So we're down one member in the state Senate.
Evers has indicated he'd sign the bill. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Charges against a Dunn County daycare worker accused of possessing child pornography have been dismissed. The charges against 33-year-old Shelley Horn of Colfax were reportedly dismissed on the grounds that the state could not prove Dunn County was the proper venue for the case. According to court documents, the state couldn't prove that Horn had access to the alleged images and videos of child pornography after she moved to Dunn County, as the content was allegedly deleted from the phone. The Eau Claire business owner accused of sexually assaulting and taking inappropriate pictures of clients is facing new criminal charges. The original criminal complaint against 40-year-old Chris Devlin, owner of Renew Aesthetics, included four victims reporting similar assaults. The new complaint includes a fifth victim who came forward, and an SD card found by police at the business revealed a potential sixth victim. Devlin faces eight charges stemming from the alleged incidents and is due back in court in March. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks hit the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are in Memphis tonight against the Grizzlies. So far this month, the Bucks have a record of 3-4. They remain in third place in the Eastern Conference behind the Celtics and the Cavaliers. After the game, Giannis Antetokounmpo and teammate Damian Lillard head to Indianapolis, the site of this year's NBA All-Star Game, inside Lucas Oil Stadium, the home of the Colts. The tip-off is Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Baseball. The Brewers making a trade yesterday with the Yankees, sending 27-year-old lefty Clayton Andrews to New York. In return, they get a prospect, 19-year-old right-hander Joshua Quezada, who was impressive in the Dominican leagues. The Brewers pitchers and catchers report today, some new players and a new manager, Pat Murphy, who was the bench coach and talked about just how valuable closing pitcher Devin Williams is.
I've been with the Brewers now, I think, 9 years. You talk about blessed, you know what I mean? Think of the other guys before Devin. But Devin, I think, is the most underrated of all.
That's the Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds for tonight, a low in the mid-teens. For tomorrow, mostly sunny but colder, high in the low 20s. It warms back up this weekend, partly sunny and breezy Saturday, high in the low 30s, sunny and upper 30s for Sunday. It's 24 right now.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci in the house, producer Anya in the house. And, you know, we're waiting right now. We've got an important guest. The fact is that this is a person who's on the road doing some work out there trying to get elected. So we're going to give our guest a little bit of a break right now and assume he's coming on because, you know, we're going to make sure because we do this for important people. So, we're out there. We know. We're waiting.
We'll tease that a little bit, and if he pops in, and hopefully he does, we'll give him a proper intro. And for our avid listeners, you might remember him. I'll tease that a little bit. But Tim, how you doing today, man? It's Thursday.
Thursday, and I tell you what. I mean, it's flying by because, you know, I downloaded the Civic Media app the other day. Yep. You know, on my iPhone, and I was telling my father, you know, who's like, yeah, I don't know. I said, well, go to the Google store, Dad, you know, and download it. You can download it to your phone too. He can do. So we both have the Civic Media app up and we're on the phone and, you know, cause he's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he's like, I want to listen to the show. Check it out. He goes right on the Civic Media app, pulls it up. Hits play right there on the show. He listens in Pittsburgh, you know, different time zone. No problem listening to Busted Pencils every night at the, you know, whenever he just hits it, boom, there it goes. So if you're out there going, how do I listen to Busted Pencils when I'm not in Wisconsin? Hey, Civic Media app, download it. You can get us and all the other shows on Civic Media.
Or even if you're in Wisconsin, and it's just easier to use the app than it is to, you know, go sit in your car or drive somewhere. Maybe you don't have radio on set up on your home system.
Just there you go.
App, throw it on and boom.
There they you can go. Do you it, and us. You can always Good listen. People. And reminder, it is 6 p.m. in Wisconsin Central Time. You know what? And that's why Busted Pencils, we are on every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 6 o'clock Central Time, Wisconsin time. If you're listening live, it is every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 6 o'clock. This is our time slot from now on, coming right off of the back of the Devil's Advocates. And so there we are, you know, check it out every day. Civic Media app and Busted Pencils, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. There we are. Johnny, we had a great show last night. Our friends from Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, coming in and, you know, just talking about all of the pain and suffering that has been going on for years under the high-stakes standardized testing regime. And I put it out this morning to, you know, for people to go and listen to the show. Kids are demoralized. Teachers are demoralized. The cause, testing. For people to realize the fact that, you know, we made a big issue of saying, you know, hey, No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top, they're not over. They have become so solidified that the reality is that testing every day, every moment, every time you're in a classroom, happening all the time, it just goes on anymore. We don't have cute names for it anymore. It's just out there ruining every day, taking kids, disengaging them, telling teachers the professionalism, the expertise, the deep knowledge that you have, you know, there it is. You can't do it. So just plug in that podcast, check it out. You know, you can see Teachers Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified. We love every Wednesday they're with us. And there he is, our guest. Man, we are so happy. Just, you know, we're going to get right here. He is a father, award-winning educator, a historian, and a dedicated advocate who has been a champion for his community. He's now running to represent North Carolina House District 27 in the legislature so that everyone in northeastern North Carolina can have the voice in state government that they deserve. Welcome back to Busted Pencils, candidate, teacher, father, Rodney Pierce. Rodney, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good, Tim. Thank you for having me back, man. It's been, what, a year or so?
It's been a year.
It's been a little over a year.
Yeah, man. Yeah, good to be back with you guys, man. I still keep up with the what should I call it, X or Twitter?
You know what? We're X, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever get it, Ronnie. You know, it works. So, Ronnie, I want to introduce this, you know, because, you know, last time we had you on as this awesome teacher, you still are that awesome teacher. But Johnny's been playing around with going, look, man, we got to bring it up, man. Teachers, all of this, these things that go on out there. How do you get politically active? Johnny, here is Rodney.
I know
he heard you wish, look at that. Oh, we all got the heads going on. Nice.
That's how we tune in.
Anya. Sorry, Anya.
What if I turned my camera back on and I had shaved my head in that minute I had it off? Wouldn't that be crazy? Then I could join the
But yeah, we always talk about what a prime position it is to get educators' voice into the political arena, how important it is. And how much teachers are at the center of so much of what's happening in our community and our democracy. We haven't even been joking, but we've been saying for the last year or so, you know, what's our wish? What's something we hope to see more of in education and we want to promote and talk about as much as we can? And that's exactly it. It's our teachers, our educators out there feeling like they have something to offer. They're already doing so much in the community, but they have leadership to provide in our democracy. And then I read of this, and Tim, you know, that shoots me a text, and here we see our guy Rodney, you know, and you're running for office. Tell us about this, man.
Oh man, it's an experience. It's kind of surreal, you know. A couple of years ago, I ran for the Halifax County Schools Board of Education, which is the county that I live in, obviously here in North Carolina. And that's the district that I attended as a child, graduated from, and the district all three of my children attend. So I ran for school board, was very confident in my chances. There were three seats open, seven candidates. I finished fourth, lost by 35 votes. Okay. So I knew I had some support and that people respected me. Mm-hmm. And so last year, I attended an education panel in Raleigh at this restaurant. You know, someone called me, said, hey, you know, I heard good things about you. I need a teacher to speak on this panel. Would you be interested? We'll put you up in a hotel and we'll pay you gas. I'm there. Nice.
There you go.
I'm there. And the gentleman's name was Blair Reeves with Carolina Ford, a progressive policy nonprofit. And he gets to talking to me and he's like, hey, man, we need to get you in. We need to get you an office up here in Raleigh. And I kind of look at him like, bro, look, you know, I ran for school board, man. I lost. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what you're talking about right now. He said, well, can we stay in contact? I said, yeah, sure. I'll listen. You know, and so Blair and I would just talk every few weeks, you know, just chat it up. Hey, man, how things going? Boom, boom, boom. Any idea what you're going to do? I said, I don't know yet. And when it came time to decide what I was going to do, I was kind of leaning towards the state Senate, the state Senate, and the Republican supermajority here in North Carolina redrew the districts, you know, and they gerrymandered the county that I'm in and another county into a Senate district that's going to dilute the power of the black voters in those counties. And so that was like a sign to me to say, hey, no, not going to do the state Senate thing. And I said, but Mr. Reeves, if you're still interested in me perhaps going out there and running, I said, I'd like to run for state house. So the guy that currently has that seat is a 20-year incumbent. So that's the more challenging race and the more arduous one, so to speak. But this gentleman who's a Democrat, you know, is not a progressive Democrat and actually is the most conservative Democrat in the North Carolina State House. And he has a very bad record on public education. And some of his votes this year really, really sent me like, what are you doing? And
Rodney,
no one else is stepping up. So I decided to.
Yes. That's what's up. Thank you, Rodney. But
there it is. No, so Rodney, how much of this? So, I mean, teacher, father, community member, you're saying, you know, running for the school board, get you get your feet wet. You look at that. You know, you almost get there.
Yes, sir.
And you know, at what point, you know, being the teacher is the motivation. I mean, what's the prime motivation for, you know, successful award-winning historian history teacher to jump into this mess, man?
My babies, okay. my biological children and the children I teach every day who get on my damn nerves. But you know, my babies, man, my babies, my children, you know, all three of my children. Once my son is 17, daughters are 14 and 10, and I teach middle school. And so, that's, you know, right. I have them at a very, very particular age. You know what I mean? Some of them want to be grown. But then when you remind them that they're a child, they remember they're a child. And then some of them, you know, still act like they're grown. But, you know, I the counties that I'm looking to represent are all tier one counties, meaning they're among the most economically distressed in North Carolina. And, you know, I see the environments that my children come from. My school is right across the street from public housing, from the projects. And, you know, I deal with kids who come from disadvantaged backgrounds, broken homes. Some are suffering with mental health issues. And, you know, schools are underfunded. And, you know, my children attend the same schools, you know what I mean, in the same district. You know, not the same school district, but the same house district. And, you know, when I see our current representative, my opponent, not advocating for certain things and, you know, making deals and giving piecemeal scraps to the district and acting like that's a big deal, you know, it pisses me off. And my children and, you know, my extended family, my other children are my prime motivation because, you know, I want them to be able to go to a school system and attend one that's fully resourced and, you know, schools are the indicator of your health of your community, whether industry is going to be drawn there and everything. So that was the prime motivation.
Man, it's Rodney Pierce, our guest. Awesome history teacher, award-winning historian, now running for North Carolina's House District 27 in the legislature. When we get back, though, we're going to talk about Rodney's platform, issue number one, fully funded public education. The number 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Give us a call for Rodney.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on 93.5 The Tap and on the Civic Media app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
That pollution that was burning your tongue. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest is Rodney Pierce. He's a father, award-winning educator, historian, dedicated advocate, champion for his community. He is now running for the state legislature in North Carolina. Teacher, turning it, making it real. On the platform, though, Rodney, fully funded public education. Man, I know the listeners in Wisconsin are out there. Anybody who's listening is like, how is it like, are you telling me that in North Carolina, public education isn't fully funded? Rodney, make sure you turn your mic back on. There you go, man.
My mistake.
No, North Carolina is not fully funded?
No, sir. North Carolina had a court case back in 1994 called Leandro versus State. Halifax County Schools, the district I attended, used to work in, and that my children currently attend, was one of the original plaintiffs. And this was a low wealth school funding case because the school districts, Halifax County Schools, public schools of Robeson County, Hope County Schools, Vance County Schools, Cumberland County Schools, were taxing their citizens at above average rates to try to make up for the shortfall in state funding from the state of North Carolina. And this court case was first decided, I believe, in 1997. Mm-hmm. And the state found in favor of, the courts found in favor of the plaintiffs. And then the case went back to court. And I think it was decided this time in 2004. And again, found in favor of the plaintiffs. And it was said that because of the North Carolina Constitution, which is the only state constitution in our country that has a Declaration of Rights that says children in the state have the right to a free system of public schools, and it's the state's duty to maintain and guard that right to education, that you all need to make sure that students in North Carolina have a sound basic education. And that means that they need to go to fully funded public schools. And what that looks like is that you're going to have teachers who are properly paid for their expertise and professionalism. You're going to have administrators who are also paid. You're not going to have overcrowded classrooms. You're not going to have students who are working with out-of-date textbooks or libraries that have books from 10 to 15 years ago still on the shelf that are irrelevant. You're going to have students who are able to pick from a variety of electives or enhancements: dance, drama, robotics, CTE, band, the arts, all those different things are going to happen if you have fully funded public schools. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame because Leandro is set to come up again in the state Supreme Court on February the 22nd. And it's just a sad scenario because North Carolina only spends 2.3% of its wealth on public education. We have the lowest share in the entire country.
But it's in the state constitution, very plain, not legalese and stuff. It's like, look, kids have a right, put the money out there. And I think about this, states in some way, shape, or form, I know in Wisconsin, in Ohio, these cases have always been ruled in favor of states not meeting their obligation.
That's correct. North Carolina has I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just, it's stunning to the fact that you're sitting there going, and how do they get away with not doing the funding? It's like the court cases have decided this, and these legislators go back and go, yeah, you know what? We're not going to do it. But yeah, Rodney Pierce is going like, well, no, when I get in there, we're going to do it.
Right. North Carolina has the highest number of students who are in inadequately funded schools in the country. We have the highest number, more than any other state. And all I can say is, I think sometimes when you have low wealth counties that are engaged in these lawsuits, people who come from these tier one communities, which are the most economically distressed, sometimes are not the most educated. They have a sense of hopelessness, sort of like when people don't partake in the political process and don't vote, they feel like, well, nothing's going to change. It's always been this way. Nobody cares. So why should I even care? Why should I care that my school is not adequately funded? It's not going to change. They're going to get some money in here and them people are going to do whatever they want with it. They're not going to take care of my kid like they're supposed to. And, when you come from where I come from, Northeastern North Carolina, which I like to call neglected Northeastern North Carolina, because that's what it's been for so long. Sometimes people have a learned helplessness and, they keep living, but they kind of give up on life, unfortunately, that hopelessness kind of translates into a sense of, not trying to fight anymore and just living life and, being satisfied with the mediocrity and the average. And I just feel like our kids deserve better.
And I was going to say, it sounds to me like you're like, man, enough of that. I'm coming in. I'm going to champion that. Hey, look, if you got anything similar, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Caller Joanne. Joanne is on the line. Joanne, what's happening?
Yes, I'm so happy you've got this great candidate for office. As a guest, I'd like to ask a specific question about online education that has a couple of different aspects to it. Online education is a great hope for the future, but as we know, many students needed to utilize, let's say, the parking lots of fast food restaurants that had Wi-Fi to do their homework because there just wasn't the bandwidth. They didn't have access to Wi-Fi or there wasn't the bandwidth that they needed to do their assignments. And I'm wondering, what do you feel about online education? Can students benefit from it? And what changes in the society would be needed so that everyone has access to it, full access? Right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joanne. There you go, Rodney. Man, well, first question.
Well, I'm glad she asked that because that is an issue where I live in my district, broadband connectivity, high-speed internet access. And, it comes to a point where we as government officials have to be intentional. We have to be intentional about the investments that we make. James Baldwin has a quote where he says, "For these are all our children. We will either profit by or pay for whatever they become." And if we don't make the investment now, more than likely, we're going to be making the investment later, whether that's, healthcare costs, incarceration, all those types of things. So we as legislators have to be intentional about our investment in high-speed internet access and broadband connectivity for the citizens that we serve. And that's an issue in my county, the district that I'm trying to serve. And so I definitely would be advocating and trying to make sure that whatever federal monies or state monies are available, we're going to make sure that we have those in place to service our students. Online education, it all depends on the student. If they're mature enough to handle online classes, they can. If not, then we need to do a hybrid situation or straight face-to-face. It's all in the learning style of the student, what best suits them.
There you go. Look at it, man. He sounds like a teacher right there making that statement. Hey, whatever is best for the student, if they have a different learning style, we need to adapt and make sure that those kids get what they need. He is Rodney Pierce. He is the educator, father from North Carolina, who has heard Johnny Lupinacci wishing for more teachers to enter the political fray. He's running for the legislature in North Carolina.
Yes,
number 844-967-2789. If you have a question for Rodney, give us a call. When we get back, though, we're going to do a little bit more on this platform with Rodney Pierce running for the legislature. Teacher extraordinaire. Busted Pencils back after the...
Tune in Friday, Devil's Advocates. We air the grievances and we bring you the verdict in the Trump fraud trial. A massive verdict, I suspect. 4 to 6.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lost 10% of its farms and almost one-third of its milk and cheese processing plants in the last 5 years. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says there are only about 6,200 farms milking cows in America's dairyland. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says it's a wake-up call. The worker shortage is affecting all aspects of life, including the mail. Low staffing is linked to delays in rural postal service. Bryce Shanklin is a mail carrier who says more people should consider working at the post office.
I'd never have to worry about being laid off. The other benefit is all the federal holidays, ones like President's Day. Most people don't get that off. And then I haven't seen better health insurance than what I have.
Shanklin admits the labor shortage makes it hard to split overloaded routes, which leads to slower service. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Marshfield Clinic Health System has announced it will be expanding its midwifery program back to Chippewa Falls amid the closure of HSHS and Pervia facilities. The program had been paused due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but will return to ensure that pregnant women in the Chippewa Valley have adequate access to the health care that they need. The organization also still offers midwife services in Eau Claire. Marshfield Clinic will expand its staff, resources, and increase the amount of beds it has in the Chippewa Valley. A proposed bill to reallocate $15 million to Chippewa Valley emergency departments is advancing in the state legislature. Committees in both the state Senate and Assembly are holding public hearings on the bill this week. If passed by the committees, the bill could go to a full state Senate and Assembly vote as soon as next week. The funding is meant to support Chippewa Valley healthcare organizations following the announcement that HSHS and Pervia facilities in the region will be closing by June 30th. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
I'm Trigvi Olson. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. An Oklahoma country music station is refusing to play Beyoncé's two new songs that dropped Super Bowl Sunday. The popular R&B singer released Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, calling them country songs. Country music station KYKC is facing a backlash from listeners after the station's program director refused to play them, saying KYKC is a country music station and we will not play Beyoncé. Sorry, but I can't help ask the question that's on everyone's mind. Why on earth is Beyoncé recording country music songs? On the heels of Valentine's Day, Damon Wayans Jr., star of the new Netflix film Players, says sex scenes in rom-coms are unrealistic. Wayans Jr. says sex is not always amazing in real life, and he would like to see sex scenes in movies reflect that. Personally, I totally disagree. Rom-coms are fantasy anyway, and no one wants to hear lines like, your knee is on my hair, or damn girl, are those your mom's underpants? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds for tonight, a low in the mid-teens. For tomorrow, mostly sunny but colder, high in the low 20s. It warms back up this weekend, partly sunny and breezy Saturday, high in the low 30s, sunny and upper 30s for Sunday. It's 24 right now.
If it's your turn to host a game, Grandpa's Barbecue suggests you try something different. Put out the perfect barbecue flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. Add it to your ribs, dip the meatballs, or drench your wings in the original flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. It isn't too hot or spicy, fruity or smoky or whatever. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I have my mother's dreams. I have my father's eyes. You can't take that from me. Just go ahead.
Busted Pencils, the best music on radio. Rise Against right there. One of the most awesome bands out there from Chicago. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. Education Talk. The number is 844-967-2789. Our guest is Rodney Pierce. He's a teacher, historian, running for office. Johnny, this is your vision, dude. Your dream.
This is one of my favorite things is when, you know, we always say it, and educators and teachers out there, you know, you're in the middle of so much and you're working with families and you're working with your students, like Rodney shared in the earlier segment. And you're doing this for the children. And when ultimately we teach, and Rodney brought up the James Baldwin quote, you know, that, you know, it's an investment in our future now. We are That's active. Right. It's for us teachers. It's our civic duty.
That's right.
To do the best teaching we can do. It is a way we ensure we're underwriting the future of this nation, of our communities. And we know in the past it has not been the nation that it can be. And so we work towards what that future can look like, that dream that can come to fruition, that these young folks can make this the world that we all want to see and be in. That's so right. When we do that, sometimes we find ourselves pretty limited, our hands tied behind our backs in sense, metaphorically, right? Underfunded, overworked, spread really thin, up against the wall. We've been talking about testing culture all week, Tim, and teacher Joanna and teacher Hallie talking about the hope that's out there in schools. Mm. Well, that's why I say, like, teachers are in a unique position where they understand the community, they know the needs, right? They also see firsthand every day how the future suffers when children in schools aren't given what's necessary in order to be good learners, in order to take in that information. And that falls over onto teachers, right? Because we see then the quality of teachers goes down because it's really hard to sustain being a teacher in underfunded schools. And too many of our schools are underfunded, right? So I get really excited because we often talk about what can we do besides teach and do more teaching day in and day out. Well, that's one thing. But also we have to, you know, speak truth to the conditions that children and teachers and families are suffering through in schools around our country. And when we do that, we say, what do we do in a democracy? Well, we get politically active, right? We do our civic duty and then some. So it gets really exciting to bring this in, to hear Rodney, a classroom teacher, right? A community guy saying, all right, enough's enough. I got to do more than just talk about this and teach about it. I'm going to do what I can
make
change. So, Rodney, I appreciate your story being testimony to that. And hopefully listeners out there, man, if you've got a story like that, give us a call. Or if you're a teacher out there thinking about, you know what, I've about had it too. Enough's enough. Let's go. Let's get on here. Let's talk about it. Also get going on our civic opportunities to run for office, make change.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Rodney, thinking about it, though, too, I mean, so absolutely, you know, full funding and stuff, the idea. And what Johnny's talking about, too, the fact that, you know, being a history teacher, you got this, you know, you're on civic media with us, too, right now, doing your civic duty, talking about that, you know, all of these things kind of coming together. But I can imagine somebody potentially going, okay, so he's a teacher. All he's going to do is be running on teaching issues and stuff like that. Like, you know, fully funding the playground and stuff. But, like, you know, on your platform, it's right there, though. You know, on top of fully funding, affordable health care, affordable housing, class mobility. Tell me about the whole Rodney Pierce platform.
I'm progressive enough, Tim, that I think everyone, you know, who deserves to have a fully funded public education, if that's what they so choose, and that they have access to affordable health care, affordable housing, and if they're willing to work, they deserve to be paid a fair and living wage and to have good benefits so they can take care of themselves and their families. I mean, we're the wealthiest country in the world. Wealthiest country in the world. We shouldn't have homeless people. We shouldn't have people who can't afford medical care. You know, we shouldn't have people who are struggling and living paycheck to paycheck. We just shouldn't, you know. I guess growing up and having friends who came from public housing and, you know, growing up with my grandmother in a brick and mortar and then going over there to the projects and hanging out and seeing how life was different for them really kind of opened my eyes. And then as I got older, I really started to see it because I worked in some of the more poor towns, in the county that I live in. And I saw how people were really living, and it just was like, wow. Then you go into education and you see where these kids are coming from. Some of them are homeless. They miss a month of school simply because their housing situation is unstable. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, they might be able to miss a few days of English. They might be able to miss a few days of science and social studies, but math? Mm-hmm. No, not at all. But affordable health care, North Carolina's last budget, we cut taxes for the richest North Carolinians, something that's going to cost us $26 billion by one estimate by 2028. We're projected to lose more of our general revenue fund than any other state in the country because of tax cuts. Mm. And that's $26 billion that could have went towards public education, toward access to early childhood ed, toward affordable health care. So, you know, I believe those tax cuts need to be repealed so that we'll have the money to, you know, fund those public institutions that so many people depend on.
You know what, Rodney, and I appreciate you bringing these, connecting these dots that as an educator, we see firsthand how important affordable health care is as an early form of intervention.
Yes, right? Sir.
Affordable housing and stability for young people and their families allows for the kind of mobility in our communities that make this democracy ultimately a stronger community across the board. When I break this down, my students always get caught. I teach teachers and I teach, you know, young people, and they always want to divide this up into Republican, Democrat, conservative, Republican. And I say, hold up, stop. That's great. You can have that. But if there's one thing we can agree on, if there's one place we can find common ground, right, across all our backgrounds, all our cultures, is that human rights matter. We value them. And within that, children's rights are important. Right. And if we can agree on those things, that children should have access to affordable and good quality health care, to food, to housing. Right. We talk about it in science class, food, water, shelter, space. For the humans in our community. If we can land on that together, we can get things done. Yeah. Right. And so, OK, so I appreciate you connecting these dots because, you know, I hear Rodney Pierce, educator with a view that really values human rights, that values children as you know, an investment in the strength of our states, our country, everything here.
Yes, sir. And the sad thing about it is that North Carolina is talking about, as a state, the Rate Bureau here is talking about raising our homeowners insurance. And it's already going up, you know, for the most part. I've already heard people talking about it, but they want to do a 42% increase throughout the state on average. And in my district, that's going to be 40% in Halifax and Northampton counties and 39% in Warren County. And a third of the people in all of those counties are already cost burdened, meaning they spend at least 30% of their income on housing alone. Mm-hmm. You know, people can't afford that. And so, you know, you have legislators who, you know, seem like they're siding with the real estate and the housing lobby over the needs of people who need shelter. You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food, clothing, and shelter. And it's just like, you just sit back and you watch and you're like, what are y'all doing? what are you doing? You know,
you think about that, too. You just point this out. It's, you know, anybody who's a listener out there, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. OK, you know, we're talking about, you know, what does a human being need to, you know, not just thrive, just the basic bottom levels of needs, right. Survive, food, shelter, clothing, right? It's not a debatable issue here, you know, and all the teachers out there listening are going, oh my God, everybody knows that. And sometimes you're sitting there going like, I don't know if my neighbor knows that sometimes, because it's like, and Johnny puts this out there and says like run, you know, in one way it's gotta be a little bit like I am running on doing what's right by humans.
Thank you.
I mean, that's your, you know, my platform is I'm going to do right by humans. Man, we need Rodney Pierce. We need more people like Rodney Pierce, too.
Thank you.
Running out there. Rodney, though, answer this question.
Yes, sir.
So to do this, you must have taken some time off of teaching, right? Because there you can't do both, can you?
I mean, I took the day off because it was the first day of early voting. But no, sir. Still teaching. In North Carolina, we don't get paid, you know, our true value. And I know that's true around a lot of states in our country. So, you know, you can't afford to miss time. Can't afford to really take time off. You still got to work. And that works to your benefit, because some of your colleagues, once they start seeing your signs, hey, man, I saw your face on the sign. That's you. You running for office? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, good, because they may not care for your opponent. You know, let me know how I can make a contribution. You know, you're like, hey, let's not talk about that at work, man. You talk about that at work. You know what I mean? But the students, yes. The students see it. People come by their house that are canvassing for you, knocking on the door. Hey, vote for Rodney Pierce. Mr. Pierce, I saw your sign on the interstate. You know, I have a billboard up. Mr. Pierce, I saw your sign. You know, I saw you putting up signs. And, you know, to me, you know, if kids can't see it, they can't be it.
That's right.
And I tell them all the time, I'm like, look, y'all are next up. And what you mean? You're going to be the next mayor, the next city council member, the next county commissioner, the next state senator, state rep, the next congressman, the next president, governor. Mm. That's going to be you, because people my age, when you guys get ready to take over, we're going to be sitting back chilling, you know, and y'all going to be running things. You know, you're going to be the next small business owners, the next CEOs. I say, you know, all I ask when you blow, you know, hire Mr. Pierce as a consultant so I can get that check. That's all I ask. That's all I ask for. But, I try my best to encourage them. I mean, granted, I'm a social studies teacher. But I try my best to encourage them to know who your elected officials are. That's part of like one of the first assignments I give them is like, OK, do you know who your Board of Education members are? Like, these are the people who literally dictate the policy and hire the people who are involved in your education, from your school bus driver to your teacher, to your administrator, to your superintendent. You know, they approve the contracts. You know, they know that there is a school board, but they may not know who's actually on it. And I'm like, you need to know that. I said, because I guarantee you, if, you know, I do something that makes you upset and you go home and talk about it, your parent or guardian may want to just overstep the principal and the superintendent and go straight to the board to try to have me fired. So, you know, you just try to teach them the importance of civic engagement, of researching candidates, knowing, you know, what they may say publicly but do privately. And, you know, truly asking themselves, this person who wants my vote, because in 4 to 5 years, they'll be getting registered to vote. Does this person who wants my vote, are they truly, truly representative of my community? And are they truly going to work in the best interest of myself, my family, my community? And that's what I want to do. Teach and groom and cultivate critical thinkers.
Nice. It's Rodney Pierce. Oh, he's teacher, but he is running for state legislature. He heard Johnny's dream. More teachers entering, yes. Though. I mean, I love this. You know, just make a comment too. The fact is that, yeah, I just hearing you say, like, as your students see you, your billboard, see your signs, what a great model for them.
Thank about you.
How to engage.
Exactly.
Okay, now Rodney.
Yes.
It ain't easy out there. Being a candidate. Okay. If people are interested in your campaign, yes, where do we go?
You can go to Pierce, PierceForNC.com. PierceForNC.com. They can see how to donate to my campaign. They can keep up with it. My endorsements, the information on me in terms of my bio, my affiliations, things of that nature. They can sign up to volunteer if they want. If they want a phone bank and call people for me. Whatever they like to do, that's where they can go. You can also follow us on Twitter at Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E, 4, the number 4, Pierce 4 NC House. And you can find us on Instagram at Pierce 4, F-O-R, NC House 27, and Pierce 4 NC House District 27 on Facebook. So that's where we are on social media.
It's all out there. Most important too, Pierce for North Carolina NC.com. PierceForNC.com. Rodney Pierce, thanks for busting pencils, my friend.
Yes, thank you for having me again. Good to see you.
This is 93.5 The Tap. There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Birkebeiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Birkebeiner. Is it Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer coming up.
There's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year. There's a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
That's what we do. Making all the noise. Busted pencils. Fully led education talk. Educated educators talking education. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Give us a call. Man, great guest, Rodney Pierce, teacher, father, now running for state office in North Carolina. Heard Johnny Lupinacci out there having
a vision. Oh, man, you got to stop giving me credit for that.
But you had the vision. You put it out there and say, like, man, I want to see this. I want to hear. And here it is. You know, obviously, I mean, Rodney, this was him on his own saying, like, I got to do this. But here he is, you know, Johnny. We said we want him on the show because he is a model. And I love how at the very last part of this, when we had him on, how he said, you know, like my billboard's up there, my signs are out there, my students are seeing me. He's a model. And guess what? He's on Busted Pencils right now. And you're out there listening, my neighbor, all you listeners. He's a model for you, too. You, too, can do this. This is, you know, this is civic media pushing forward the idea that we have civic responsibilities out there. One of them is to step up and answer that call. Run for office. Teachers, you know what's going on, Johnny, right?
We've talked about the political process this week quite a bit. Danielle Ford, a mom of a member of the school community, saying, I'm going to be on a school board. Like, I have stake not only in what children are learning in schools and how schools go, but I think I have, you know, work to give here. And so school board member, right? So we have these examples of folks in the community exercising their civic rights, doing their civic duty, and being part of the political process. I love that Rodney, you know, reminds us. I think it's really important because anytime you throw your hat in there, it turns into, you know, are you here? What if you don't win the election, right? Elections aren't fair, but it's how we decide, you know, representation in this form of democracy. And so, you know, it's the process. So why put all that effort in when there's such an uphill battle? And Rodney reminds us, because it's ultimately a victory, because you are showing those around you how the process works. You're sharing with them that, hey, you too could be this voice. This is important. We need representation from our community. Understand the needs of our community. Let's go. Rodney puts his hat in the ring, which is more than just throwing your hat in the ring, right? It's a lot of work. So a lot of credit to Rodney and to others who take that step. And we need it. It's, again, LA Tom calls almost every night, reminds us we're government of the people, you know, are for the people, by the people. And that's really important. So who are the people? They're Rodneys. They're the Danielles. They're the teacher Joanna, teacher Hallie, right? So, and they're all you listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? What are we doing? What are the things that we care so much about that we don't want to let others make decisions for us, right? We want to be part of that decision-making process. Again, the definition of democracy, decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decisions. Mm-hmm. And Rodney's reminding us, hey, schools are underfunded. And in fact, access to affordable health care, to housing. All of these things are subpar in too many communities around him, and really, quite frankly, around our country.
Exactly. But
around him, where can you make a difference? In District 27, right, where he's running. Did I get that right? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I you did.
District 27.
There you go.
So whether you're in North Carolina and tuning in, listening because you wanted to find out more about Rodney, or whether you're in our listenership in Wisconsin, right, wherever you're at, the democratic process is important. And we want more educators, people who are centering education, to be part of that process.
Now, there it is. Johnny Lupinacci making a nice, nice pitch. It's just sounding wonderful. 844-967-2789. Rodney Pierce was our guest, running for state legislature, District 27, North Carolina. He is a teacher and a father first, who heard that call, stepped up and said, I'm going to do it. Oh, Anya, did he inspire you to run for office yet?
You know, I keep threatening people with my running for office when bad things happen. I'm like, if you keep this up, I will run for office. No, but I think the coolest thing about that, I just had this image in my head of like, man, if one of my teachers had run for office when I was in school, and back then I definitely had crazy ideas like running for office and things, the idea of being able to go to their room like after class and be like, hey, how do you start this, in like a very basic way of what paperwork do you fill out and what office is that at and how'd you get into this? You don't see that in every school. A lot of teachers, not their only job because of how little they get paid, but you don't see things like this, I think. And that's really cool.
No, I mean, yeah, think about it. Anya, great observation there.
Something
too.
Like that. Like,
yeah, if I'd have seen my teachers engaging in this, you know, how much more inspirational to be, you know, to be an active citizen like that. It's, you know, it's what we do. Johnny, you said, democracy. One of the things that Johnny, you said, the definition is, you know, the making sure that those who are impacted the most have the most voice. I would say that's a challenge of democracy, though, because what Rodney was pointing out is that for some people, the whether it's oppression, whether it's just years and years and years of a mistrust, start to pull themselves out of that process. And so that the decisions that do affect them, they take themselves out of the ability to put their voice out there. And, you know, I don't know the solution to that, but I hear Rodney saying like, ah, come on, you got a voice. You know, these decisions do impact you, and you do have a voice that needs to be shared, that needs to be heard. You know, and you're agreeing with me, Johnny.
Well, you misquote me a little bit there, so I want to disagree with you on one point. The definition I give for democracy is decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decision. And you quoted that.
I'm sorry.
When you quoted it as you said, those impacted the most have the most say, and that's actually true. Oftentimes, actually not fairly true of democracy in the representative form we have it. Maybe sometimes that's how people think of it, but it doesn't matter whether you're moderately impacted. If you're impacted in a democracy, you have a right and you have a responsibility to being part of that decision being made. Mm.
There it is. Okay. Thank you, Johnny Lupinacci, clearing up the day. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Thank you to our guest, Rodney Pierce. Tomorrow night, thank God it's Busted Pencils. See y'all tomorrow night.
It's Friday. Let's go.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
Connecting the Dots Between the Left and the Right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.